Hark, a thrilling voice is sounding. Christ is nigh, it seems to say. Cast away the works of darkness, O ye children of the day. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, amen. So today is the first Sunday of Advent, and I can't believe it's here already. And it marks the beginning of our new church liturgical year. It symbolizes our waiting through this time and for Jesus. And so we have the Advent wreath and we light a candle each week. And today it's for hope, then for peace, then for joy, and then for love. And it's the beginning of our sermon series on the collects of Advent. When we are finished with the four Sundays, we will have cast away the works of darkness, we will have heeded the warnings of the prophets, forsaken our sins, we will have stirred up once again God's mighty power, and we will have purified our consciences. And we will have put on the armor of light, we will have risen to life immortal, we will have been helped and delivered, we will have prepared our hearts for Jesus, and we will greet our Lord with joy. A very tall order in a very short 4 weeks. Now the backstory on the collects. So they are prayers that collect or sum up the prayers of people who have been called to pray at the start of worship, or sometimes they occur during worship. And they show a pattern of symmetry that usually includes an invocation like Almighty God, a petition, give us grace, and a conclusion, through him who lives and reigns. And our collect for this first Sunday in Advent is this. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This collect was written for the first prayer book in 1549 and is based on Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verse 12. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We heard it in one of our readings today. And this collect has been revised a bit over the years, but since the 17th century until its current revision in our prayer book today, it was to be repeated daily throughout the season of Advent. What a great way to pray in Advent. Perhaps what a great way to pray every day. Last week, we had a guest preacher that many of you heard, Stuart Hoke. And he preached on the final Sunday of the church year called Christ the King. And he lamented about the excesses of the new imperial religion, Christianity, that was declared by the Emperor Constantine the Great in the 4th century. And he referred to our awesome vestments, patterned after those worn by royalty and interwoven with gold thread. And he made the comment, or maybe it was a challenge, that we might best clothe ourselves in fishing vests rather than the fancy chasubles, because Jesus was not your normal expected king who would consort royally clad with queens and emperors, or who would wield power with a club. He was a different kind of king, humble, simply clothed with the garments of an itinerant preacher. His crown was one of thorns. He hung out with fishermen, with lepers, and with tax collectors. So, I accepted Stuart's challenge and am putting on my Advent blue fishing vest. It's made especially for disciples, at least for a short time. And it's not adorned with jewels, with apologies to Stuart, and we are casting away the works of darkness today and putting on the armor of light. My husband said I wasn't allowed to throw this line out there, nothing with fishing line. This will remind us of the words in the collect today, really, that we cast away the works of darkness. We cast away those things that result in separation, illness, injustice, oppression, and violence. And we are to take on the armor of light, which reminds us to put on healing and restoration and justice and mercy. We are to wait in expectation of a tiny infant king being born, one who will turn the power of empire upside down, who will move downward toward those in need and serve others, and who will never move himself upward and serve himself alone. During this season of Advent, as we prepare for the coming of Christ yet again, how might we cast away the works of darkness? How might we put on the armor of light? Author Jim Wallace has written a book called Christ in Crisis: Why We Need to Reclaim Jesus. And in his podcast about the book, he tells about how it all came about. He said that Christian leaders had begun to call him at some point because they were worried about our country and how separated and divided we have become. And one of the leaders who called him was our own presiding bishop, Michael Curry, who eventually wrote the foreword to the book. So then Wallace gathered about a dozen Christian leaders together for a retreat in 2018 to pray and discern how they and their churches might help. They believe that we are in a crisis of faith in this country. And after praying and studying and discerning, they, as followers of Jesus, wrote a statement about how they were going to reclaim Jesus as Lord, and that Jesus is our real foundation, and they released it publicly along with a video of the leaders. The statement declared some basic beliefs: that each human being is made in the image of God, that how we treat the hungry, the sick, the homeless, the stranger, and the prisoner is how we treat Christ himself, and that truth is morally central to our personal and public lives. The statement rejected practices that go against these basic beliefs, and it also asked the questions: who is Jesus Christ for us today? What does our loyalty to Christ as his disciples require at this time in history? Because it doesn't matter whatever side or so-called side anybody's on, we're invited to always go deeper into following our humble Lord's way of light and love. So Wallace called Bishop Curry, who happened to be on his way to the royal wedding, and told him that within an hour of its release, the statement had 50,000 followers. And then Bishop Curry talked to Wallace again right before the bishop gave his sermon at the wedding, and told him there were 1 million followers. Bishop Curry said, and you can just picture him saying this, "How many?" Wallace replied, 1 million. And then, as it turns out, over 5 million people have followed the Reclaiming Jesus statement. And many feel called to renew their public witness to Jesus by following his way of love and by helping to bring the light of healing and help to all people. Cast away the works of injustice and put on the light of justice and peace and kindness. Lutheran pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber felt called to ministry a long time ago after she did a eulogy for one of her friends in her AA group. And she said that as she looked out on all the faces in the crowd who were her friends, she realized how diverse they were. And she realized that they really didn't have a pastor or a church to go to in times of joy and crisis. So she went on to seminary, became a pastor, and founded the House for All Sinners and Saints, a congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America that's in Denver. And it's a place that no matter where we come from, what we believe, or who we are all welcome in God's house. And although she, as founding pastor, has now left, the church is still going strong. Cast away the darkness of exclusion and put on the light of inclusion and welcome and mercy. I have a good friend whose grown daughter is going through a really rough time in her life. She lost her job due to the restructuring of the company that she worked for, and while in the midst of a job search, suddenly found herself in a badly broken relationship and without a place to live. So she sent out an email to close friends and family without much detail, packed up her stuff, put most of it in storage, and relocated to her father's house in another city. And she tried to pick up the pieces in her life. And you can imagine the worry of her parents and her family and friends over the past several weeks. Then her parents got an email from her whole group of friends that was addressed to the daughter's team, all of her family and close friends that had been on that email. They were all to write notes of encouragement and prayer and support as she was going through tough times and trying to heal, and they were to send them to where she was living. Then in her new city, she made contact with old friends and family right away, and they pointed her to a therapist, to a healing touch practitioner, to a physician within a day of her arrival. And while she herself is hurting greatly and has been unable to find much hope these days, her friends and family who have much hope and faith in her are able to carry her until she finds her way from darkness into light. Cast away the darkness of brokenness and put on the light of encouragement and hope and healing. Advent is the season where we learn to see hope amidst our troubles. We learn to wait in the darkness because we need it to be able to see the light. Remember at creation that God separated the light from the dark and saw them as good. And remember the three kings? They needed the dark, starless night to search for the Christ child so they could see the star shining right over where Jesus was. We try to find meaning in the darkness, and we learn to trust that we will find the light. We learn to try to go deeper into following Jesus, deeper into finding our way into eternal light. And the tiny light of that candle does symbolize hope, hope for casting away the things that are not of God, and hope for finding and taking on the things that are of God. And we are called as followers of Jesus and as communities of faith to tell the good news of light and goodness and grace that is happening all around us, even in the dark. And from our collect today, not only are we invited to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, but we're invited to do it now in this time when Jesus comes again to visit us in great humility. Our hope in ages past, our hope in the present, and our hope in years to come. We are invited to reclaim Jesus as Lord of all right now. We are invited to greet the dawn of each new day with our arms outstretched to receive the light of the world. As someone once wrote, we cannot see the kingdom of God just with our natural sight. We can only make that journey into God and into God's kingdom when we actually allow ourselves to go into the darkness and put our hand into God's hand and take those first steps of trust. We're invited to discover the light of God in all people. We're invited to remember, with or without our fishing vests on, that whatever darkness and suffering and hard times we may encounter, God has the outcome in almighty hands filled with light and love. The revelation of light in the darkness cannot be rushed. So go slowly into it and know it as a place of growing and learning. Practice trust and watch for dawn, as Marilyn McIntyre puts it. So come, blessed Advent people, and as we wait for this Advent for Christ to be born, may we see the intertwining of shadow and light. May we hear that voice that says, Christ is nigh, and may we know that all is touched by grace. Amen.